Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dear Mr. Brody by A.M. Johnson. Narrated by Tim Page and Kurt Graves. Dreams do come true if only we wish hard enough. You can have anything in life if you will sacrifice everything else for it. J.M. Barrie, Peter Pan. Note from the author. One of the characters has a history of being assaulted. The assault is only spoken about briefly. There are no graphic depictions. Prologue. Donovan. I wanted to believe her tears, but all I saw behind her eyes was a washed-out version of who we once were. Hiding behind my job, her hiding behind friends, we'd found excuses. Too tired to touch, too busy to look, and all we'd had left were wasted pieces of memories. Her tan skin on the day we met, and the river water in my shoes. I'd tossed my sneakers down a well because she'd made a joke about how they'd squeaked as I walked. I'd left them behind where countless wishes sank into oblivion, and I'd forgotten, under her gaze, the things about myself that had scared me. "It isn't what you think," I tried as Elaine's hands fisted in her lap. "Lainey, please, listen, I know what I saw," she said, sounding resigned. "You have no fucking clue what you're talking about. Mara is a client, for Christ's sake." I'd taken an author I'd been chasing since I'd started at Low Literary 2 years ago to Sal's for lunch yesterday. Sal's was a diner a few blocks away from my office in downtown Atlanta. It was one of my favorite places, and I used to meet my wife there all the time. If I had seen Lainey walk in, I would have introduced her to Mara and had her join us, but instead of being rational, which wasn't a surprise, she'd made an assumption. She'd seen a woman leaning in, sitting beside me, her hand on my shoulder. It didn't mean anything. Mara was an author I wanted to sign. There was nothing more to it. Instead of confronting me, Lainey blindly pulled the pin from a grenade and ripped our marriage apart. Maybe now I could tell her the truth. The truth I'd kept hidden all these years, because once I'd met Lainey, it didn't matter anymore. I had her. I'd always had her. I'd pushed these pieces of myself aside every day, but in the end it didn't save us. She'd made sure of that when she'd slept with one of her yoga students last night. My anger surfaced as I stared at my wife, a spiteful barb loaded on my tongue. But I remembered Anne was a room away, sleeping, unaware her whole castle was about to crumble. My 10-year-old daughter, our daughter, was everything. My bright spot on the worst of nights. Elaine. I choked on her name. It doesn't matter what I say, does it? You've made up your mind. She sat in silence, her lashes wet. I'd never. My words stuck in my throat. I'd never do that to you. To Anne. But you did. She raised her eyes, and I saw the first flash of worry.
Oh, God, what have I done?
She asked, tears leaking down her cheeks. A tired breath left my lungs, and I raked my fingers through my hair. What you wanted to do, what you always do, act impulsively, consequences be damned. Despite the mood, she huffed out a laugh.
Self-sabotage.
Her lips trembled, and I wanted to tell her she fucked up. Make her remember. Remember us. Remember the first time we'd met that day at the river when we were young and stupid. Life was simple back then. Music on the car stereo, summer breaks, rafting on Saturdays, her in a see-through yellow bikini, melted popsicles, and the cherry flavor of her lips as we kissed under the tree behind her parents' house. Why didn't you talk to me, Lainey?
I don't know, she said and wiped at her cheeks. I saw her sitting next to you, her hand on you. It looked intimate, and things between us haven't been right for a while, Van. We don't talk. It made sense to me, seeing you there with her. I was upset, and he was there for me. I made a mistake.
I've known you since we were 16 years old, and you what? Decided our marriage wasn't worth a simple conversation? I stood from the bed and ran a hand over my face. You fucked a random yoga student because you thought I was cheating on you? Her eyes fell to her lap.
I felt relief when I was with him.
What? The heaviness in my chest unbearable. The green color of her eyes dulled as she held my stare.
You've always held back with me. I feel it, Van. Right here.
She rubbed her fist against her breastbone.
Something has always been between us, and I don't know. I thought maybe you'd finally found what you were looking for. You seemed comfortable with her.
I thought maybe you'd finally found what you were looking for. Lainey had been enough for me, but knowing she could sense this gap between us all this time, guilt filled my stomach with lead. I couldn't help the curiosity I had about men, or the way my body reacted without my permission when I looked at a good-looking guy. Since I was a preteen, popping boners for no good reason, I'd wondered what it would be like to kiss a guy, and I'd thought about girls with equal curiosity. When I'd met Elaine, everything had seemed to click into place. We'd stayed together through high school, even managed to make it through college and graduate school. We got married when we got pregnant with Anne at 23, and my attraction to men never went away, but it wasn't like I didn't notice other women, too. It didn't matter. It was human to look, and I loved Lainey. I loved what we had and never wanted more. But I'd never shared that part of myself, that question I had about my sexuality, and I should have. Maybe if I had been open with her, she wouldn't have felt like something was off between us. It was too late now.
I think I want a divorce,
she said, and a wash of surrender poured over me. It should have gutted me, but I'd be naive to think this was the first time she'd thought about separating. I sat down across from her on the mattress, her eyes tracking me like she was afraid I'd shatter. She seemed different to me now. Her long, dark hair was pulled into a messy bun. Dressed in workout clothes, as always, she looked the same, but didn't. Like a painting that had faded over time, she had become a part of my history, my future unknown. What about Anne? I asked. It wouldn't have been like her to turn this into some ugly custody thing, but I had to be sure.
She needs us both. She needs you.
I don't want to hate you. It wasn't a total lie. I didn't hate her. I was hurt. One choice, and she'd changed the course of our lives. For better or for worse, I had no idea. She leaned over, placing her fragile-looking hand on my knee.
We've been friends for half of our lives. We can't hate each other, she said, the soft smile on her lips faded. Do you hate me, though?
The word yes tripped over itself in my brain, but I shook my head. You're not the only one to blame, Lainey. It takes two people to have a strong marriage. I know I've made mistakes.
And there really isn't anyone else?
She asked, and hell, I wanted to tell her then. Maybe if I said it out loud, it would be real, not just a concept I'd wrestled with all my life.
For a minute, I thought you were into the blonde agent you work with.
Claire? A real laugh escaped from my aching chest. Hard pass. She's Satan in heels, not my type.
Maybe Anders is more your type, she teased, making my pulse jump, wondering if maybe she'd figured it out.
Anders Lowe owned Lowe Literary. I envied my boss sometimes. He happened to be openly bisexual and was engaged to a man. I couldn't lie to myself and pretend I didn't find him attractive. It was another secret I kept in a vault, buried where I couldn't evaluate it too much. But as she looked at me, waiting for an answer, that secret stabbed me in the ribs as I tried to breathe. There's never been anybody else for me, Lainey. Only you. Stop trying to be the victim. You're the one who fucked around.
Then I'm so...
I don't want an apology. I didn't want a fight. Exhaustion weighed on my shoulders as I stood and turned down the sheets. I could feel her eyes on me as I lifted my shirt over my head and took off my watch, setting it on the side table like I did every night. Anxious, I didn't think I'd be able to sleep. I'm going to take a shower.
Okay.
I think I should sleep in the guest room until we figure shit out.
Okay.
We should tell Anne tomorrow. Maybe let her school counselor know as well.
Okay.
Okay? I asked, and she blinked a few times before fresh tears appeared on her cheeks.
I don't know what else to say. This is really happening. We're getting a divorce. It would be easy to walk over to her, to take her into my arms and kiss her, ask her if we could do couples therapy, and hope maybe one day I'd forgive her. But the thought of a fresh start released the tight knots in my shoulders. Lainey and I hadn't been happy for a long time. I couldn't remember the last time we'd gone out together without Anne, or talked about something other than bills and work, or argued over whose turn it was to do the dishes. We didn't find ways to touch each other like we used to. We didn't stay up late tangled inside one another, fucking and talking about dreams and hope and us. Her infidelity was the wake-up call, the key to something we'd shoved neatly behind a closed door. We'd changed. We'd become different people. I was 33 years old and had no idea who I was anymore, who she was. How was it possible to know everything about a person, and yet they were still a stranger? I think it's a good thing. For both of us. For Anne.
I think so too, she said, a sad smile rising at the corner of her lips.
I waited for the fear, the uncertainty to overwhelm me, but the possibility of finally getting to know the person I'd locked away all these years made everything seem less tragic. For the first time in over a decade, I had a chance to be on my own, to discover who I was without her. Chapter 1. Donovan. 6 months later. A nervous excitement coursed through me, my hands shaking as I packed my laptop into my bag. Glancing at the clock, I had about an hour before my class started. My class. I smiled and all the nervous energy lifted. I'd gotten a second job, part-time as an adjunct professor at a small state college, teaching an introductory creative writing class in the evening. After my divorce finalized a couple of months ago, I wanted to do something for myself. I'd always wanted to be a teacher. I loved writing, and being an agent was amazing, but I was tired of always feeling like a salesman. I wanted to be a part of the process. I wanted to help people create. But getting pregnant with Anne as fast as Lainey and I hadn't had the option of being picky. With my lack of experience, I would have had a better chance of getting struck by lightning than finding a spot as an English professor at any of the local colleges. I'd tried to look in my field of study for a job, and the only thing I'd found was an entry-level editor job at Bartley Press. It hadn't been exactly what I'd wanted, but it had paid the bills. I'd worked my way up and found I didn't hate being a copy editor. I'd worked there for 8 years before Anders recruited me to work at his agency. The money sounded amazing, and I'd loved the idea of working with authors one-on-one. Since my divorce, something had shifted. I moved out of the home I'd built with my ex-wife and moved into my small, three-bedroom house in Decatur, a suburb east of Atlanta. Anne was with me 2 nights a week and every other weekend, but my loneliness when she wasn't there was bone deep. Nights were the worst. I couldn't sleep, my mind would race, and I'd wonder about Anne, wonder if she'd brushed her teeth, if Lainey had remembered to read her our bedtime stories. It didn't matter that there were always 60 minutes in every hour, in the darkness of night. Time was infinite, a loop that never ended, and I needed something to fill all those seconds of worry and doubt. I'd found this part-time job through an old colleague at Bartley, and I snagged it. Winchester State College wasn't a prestigious school, and the pay was nothing compared to what I made with Lowe, but it was something to do, something to stop myself from overthinking every choice I'd made, to stop myself from sinking into depression. It would be too easy to allow the dark, the night, to swallow me whole. I ran a hand through my hair and laughed at myself. Fuck, I was being overdramatic.
Something funny?
Anders stood inside the doorway of my office. The stern set of his shoulder belied the humor in his tone. Nah, just thinking. I checked my watch. I better head out if I'm going to make it on time.
I wanted to remind you about Wilder's release party tomorrow. He'll never let me live it down if I don't invite everyone.
If Lainey is okay to watch Anne, I can be there. He seemed relieved. I wished I could say the same. I hadn't been out to a club since college. Why is he having it at a nightclub? Anders quirked his brow and shook his head.
I stopped asking him about his choices a long time ago. I love the guy, but he is hands down the most unpredictable author I have on my client list.
And the most lucrative, I reminded him. Wilder was quirky, but I guess it didn't matter when he was one of the top-grossing authors Low Literary represented.
Touché.
He leaned against the door jamb, stuffing his hands in his pockets. He seemed anxious, his eyes avoiding mine. I know we already talked about this, but this professor job, it's not something you'll eventually want to do full-time, right? I'm not going anywhere, I promise. I'm not sure how to explain it. I need something that's just mine, that wasn't a part of my life when I was with Lainey.
That makes sense.
He relaxed a little and gave me a small, sympathetic smile.
You're a great agent. I don't want to lose you.
I laughed, and his smile widened. Trust me, I couldn't afford the gas it would take to drive to WSC with what they're paying me.
Is it terrible? I'm glad the salary isn't comparable.
His chuckle was warm, and it lightened his mood even more. Anders was a hard ass when he wanted to be, but once you got to know him, once he trusted you and let you in, you'd never find someone more loyal. Maybe I'll find the next Kurt Vonnegut in my class. He scoffed, arrogant as hell.
I highly doubt it. Let me know when you get sick of reading mediocre poems about adolescent loves lost and kids looking for an easy A. Maybe I'll give you a raise.
Hey, you never know, I said, and he moved aside as I stepped out into the hall.
Just don't tell them you're a literary agent. You'll have a bunch of wannabe Wilder Wells blowing up your inbox.
When did you get so cynical? Please tell me so I can skip that part of my 30s. He smirked as we rounded the corner to the lobby. Chris, his assistant, was on the phone. Her brows creased as she frowned.
I'll tell him, she said. He's in meetings for the rest of the afternoon, but I'll let him know you called.
Chris exhaled, a tired smile forming on her lips as she hung up the phone.
Ready for your first day, Van?
Don't encourage him.
Anders' lips twitched, fighting a smile.
It's almost like you want him to leave.
I liked it much better when you weren't a smartass, she said. But I suppose I have your fiancé to thank for that.
He has helped me reach my full potential.
Anders clapped me on the shoulder.
Seriously, though, good luck today.
Thanks, I'm going to need it.
Nonsense,
Chris chided, clucking her tongue like a mother hen even though she was my age.
You'll knock him dead.
God, hopefully not of boredom.
I ignored the anxiety fluttering around in my stomach as I turned to leave. On the way to my car, the late August heat made the fabric of my dress shirt stick to me like a second skin. I rolled my sleeves to my elbows, but it did little to help. Once I was in my car, I cranked up the AC, hoping this job would be the thing I needed to move on, and not a giant mistake. A few students were already in their seats when I walked into the classroom. I probably should have nodded my head or something, but I walked past them without an acknowledgement, far too anxious to even manage a smile.
Not very friendly, Professor.
The room wasn't as small as I thought it would be. 6 long tables divided the room and could seat 5 students. The odd number of seats per row niggled at my already amped-up brain. What if there was only 1 seat left and 2 students wanted to sit together on the same row? What if there was only 1 seat and it was in the middle? Who the hell would want that seat? Not me, and Jesus Christ, I needed to calm down. I told myself to take a deep breath and set my laptop bag under my desk. A little less frazzled, I unzipped the bag and pulled out what I needed. I could hear the classroom door opening and closing, the whispered conversations hummed around me. I kept busy fiddling with the papers I'd set out and took my time, breathing, counting backward from 100 in my head. Counting was a tool I used. It soothed me. Numbers never changed. I hadn't been this nervous in a while, and as I connected the wire from the overhead projector to my laptop, I internally laughed at myself. Most people considered me laid back, and for the most part I was, but every now and then all the worry and insecurities I figured we all had to fight every day would stage a coup. The time on my watch warned me I couldn't delay any longer, and I inhaled deeply one last time as I raised my eyes and met the class. Good evening, everyone. I'll try to make introductions as painless as possible. Soft laughter sifted through the air, and I gained the confidence I needed to continue. I swept my gaze around the room, not lingering on one student for too long as I spoke. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but this is my first teaching job, so go easy on me. A blonde girl in the front row blushed when my eyes landed on her, and I averted my gaze.
Shit, I was awkward.
My name is Donovan Brody, and I'll try to remember all of your names, but I can't promise anything. One of the students near the back of the classroom raised his hand with a smirk. My heart rattled out a few unsteady beats as I braced myself for a smart-ass comment.
Yes, Mr. Mills, sir. Parker Mills.
His eyes, though I couldn't decipher the shade from where I stood, twinkled with mischief. His features were classically handsome. A strong jaw, a sharp nose, full lips, and why the hell was I looking at his lips? He ran a hand over his short, dirty blonde hair, his smirk turning into a lopsided smile before I looked away.
Can we call you Donovan?
Shit. Could they? I racked my brain, trying to remember if any of my professors were okay with being called by their first names, and came up blank. Parker chuckled at my hesitation, and my face heated.
I think Mr. Brody would be most appropriate.
He tapped his pencil to his bottom lip.
Noted.
I should have moved on. I had an entire speech prepared about my history with Bartley Press and how writing was my passion, but for some damn reason I went off script.
How about we all take a second to get to know each other? Tell us your name and something about yourself you'd like to share. Starting with you, Mr. Mills.
The guy sitting next to him stifled a laugh, but I ignored it. Putting students on the spot hadn't been my intention. These icebreaker tactics were my least favorite when I was in school, but writing was personal, and if I wanted them to create together, we had to get comfortable with each other.
As you already know, my name's Parker Mills, but call me Parker or Park. It doesn't matter to me. I served 4 years in the Air Force. I'm getting a late start at college, but I'm grateful to be here.
Thank you for your service, I said, and he lowered his eyes, rubbing the back of his neck as he nodded. His humility surprised me.
And how about you? I asked his friend.
Name's Marcus Basulto. I'm a design major, but this idiot made me take this class with him.
He elbowed Parker and he winced.
Oh?
Yeah, but I needed the extra humanities credit, so...
Marcos waved his hand dramatically for me to move on, and I noticed his nails were painted bright pink. It stood out against his tan skin, but the color suited him.
Well, Mr. Basulto, I hope this class won't be a waste of your time.
I hadn't meant to sound as harsh as I had, so I added, I'm glad you're here. It took about 15 minutes for the whole class to introduce themselves. The majority of the 23 students were here for the humanities credits, only a handful wanted to be actual writers. It disappointed me what Anders had said might have been right, that most of these kids would write bullshit looking for an easy A. My hopes had been high, but I refused to lower the bar. If they wanted an A, they would have to earn it.
Let's get started, I said, and Marcos raised his hand.
What about you? He asked, speaking before I had a chance to address him. Aren't you going to tell us some random facts about yourself? I mean, it's only fair.
A quiet wave of smiles and laughter streamed through the room again, but Parker kept his eyes glued to the desk, slumping down in his chair as his friend beamed. Apparently making people uncomfortable was something he did for sport.
You're right, Mr. Basulto. It's only fair.
I leaned against the desk. I worked as a copy editor for most of my career until I started 2 years ago at Low Literary as an agent, helping writers to get published and managing their careers. But I've always wanted to teach, so here I am. A young woman near the back shoved her hand in the air.
Do you work with famous authors?
Sometimes. And no, I'm not at liberty to discuss which authors I represent. I smiled as I picked up the course syllabus from my desk and started to pass them out. Though this is a writing class, I'll be requiring you to read 3 books over the semester. A collective groan echoed throughout the class, and I tried not to laugh.
Come on now, 3 books in 15 weeks isn't a lot to ask.
I made my way up the aisle, giving each student at the end of a row a few handouts to pass down. When I reached Parker, he thanked me and grinned. This close, it was easier to decipher the light sapphire color of his eyes. A familiar twinge warmed my stomach, and I looked away. Swallowing, I found my voice as I made my way to my desk.
It's important as a writer to never stop reading, expanding your vocabulary. You may choose whatever 3 novels you like, but they must be fiction, and they must not all be in the same genre.
A student from the second row, Gerald, if I remembered correctly, asked,
What's a genre?
I had to stop myself from cringing.
Was he kidding?
It's a type of book,
another student answered for me.
That's correct, I said. Fiction is a genre, but within fiction there are other genres.
He chewed his lip as he furiously wrote down what I was saying.
Young adult, mystery, women's fiction, historical fiction.
For the purposes of this class, I would like you to try and pick at least 1 classic.
Classic, like Hemingway? Parker asked.
Though it shouldn't have mattered to me, I wondered why he'd taken this class, why he'd forced his friend to take it with him. Did he want to be a writer, or was he here for a quick 3 credits like most of his classmates?
Sure, Bronte, Fitzgerald, or even Salinger are acceptable. There's this marvelous thing called the library if you find you're having trouble picking a book. Ha ha. He smirked again, and I found myself smiling as well. I hear Google is great, too. Indeed, Mr. Mills, it is. I held on to his gaze longer than I should have, and a wide smile spread across his lips. I couldn't tell if this guy was a class clown or not, but despite his sarcasm, he seemed like he wanted to be here, unlike his friend who looked half asleep at his side. As I spoke, I raised my voice, and Marcos jumped. Now for your first assignment. Another chorus of groans. This was going to be a long semester.
Chapter 2. Parker. Why are you so annoying? I asked as Marcos hovered over my shoulder, his hand on the arm of my desk chair. Seriously, man, if you want me to go to that club with you tonight, you have to let me finish this essay. You've been working on this forever, mijo. Mr. Brody asked for a get-to-know-you essay, not an autobiography. He fiddled with the small blue feather earring dangling from his earlobe. Nice feather. What do you think? I bought it today, he said, and I shrugged, the motion earning me a slap to the back of the head. Ow! I'm sorry. It's kind of flashy. I had to press my lips together to stop myself from smiling. Thank you. That wasn't a compliment. That's why I know it's perfect. You have terrible taste. Marcos grinned and dropped his eyes to the document on my screen. I attempted to close it before he could get a good look at what I'd written, but he reached over me with his long-ass arm and snatched it right off the desk. Asshole, you're going to break it. He swiped a handful of his wavy dark hair from his forehead as he sat down on my bed. Why so secretive? Give me my laptop, shithead. Don't make me kick your skinny ass. He ignored me like I figured he would, reading my damn essay like he had some sort of best friend roommate right to invade my privacy. To be fair, there wasn't much we kept from each other. I'd never hidden anything from him before, and I wasn't sure why I thought I needed to now. But the smirk on his face while he read my essay had me feeling queasy. If he thought it was crap, my friend who'd always had my back, my ride or die, what the hell would my professor think? Marcos and I had been friends since our first day of basic training in San Antonio, when we'd both puked up our guts after running miles in the midsummer heat. It had been a relief to know I hadn't been the only one struggling that day. By some sheer magic, we'd both gotten through training and had been stationed at MacDill Air Force Base in Florida after graduation. Those 4 years could stay in the past, as far as I was concerned. If it hadn't been for Marcos, I'm not sure I would have made it. Like ashes scattered in the wind, without him, I would have been lost. For 4 years, I'd forced myself to stay in a closet I never wanted, and every now and then I worried some of that darkness would never fade. This is good, he said, surprise coloring his tone. I guess that public affairs job was useful after all. I basically wrote propaganda for the Air Force, Marcos. I rubbed my palm over my short hair, a familiar knot twisting inside my stomach. This class? It's different. I want to write stuff I'm proud of. Stuff for me. It wasn't propaganda. Close enough. I stood, not wanting to go down this road. When I was enlisted, it had been my job to make the Air Force look good regardless of the truth. Some days, being in the service had been everything I'd thought it would be, and other days, I'd rather not revisit. Give it back. Marcos sighed and handed me my laptop. I think the essay is good. I mean, I'm no expert, but it's missing something. Oh yeah, what's that? Sensing my mood, Marcos did what he did best. Made me laugh. In the hopes and dreams portion, he tapped a finger against his lips. You forgot to add how bad you want to fuck our new teacher. Christ! Get out of here with that bullshit, I laughed, and set my laptop on my desk, opening it before I sat down again. Whatever, mijo. Don't act like you weren't flirting with him yesterday. Can we call you Donovan? He mocked. You might as well have gotten on your knees for him right then and there. It was that obvious. Fuck off. I tried to sound pissed, but my widening smile gave me away. He's hot. I couldn't help myself. You never could, he said, his smirk a reminder of how well this ass...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?